All right. Revelation 9 and 6. Hell's angels. All right. I had one of these work me over this last week. That was greatly related to these, I think. last Thursday, I'd been out moving sand on the farm all the time, and I was cleaning the tractor off and everything, and it was filthy, and so was I. Anyway, I was cleaning it all off and got it out there and had to check the oil in it because it leaks oil. And was bent over, and I thought an ant was biting me on the back of the head. And it just kept getting worse and worse, and boy, I was starting clawing at myself, throwing my clothes off and everything else, and trying to figure out what in the world was biting me. And I went in the house, and Marilyn found a piece of a bug on there that had a big old long stinger on it. And I have been sick all week long over that thing. It hit me right with the spinal cord that hooks on to your brain, to your neck. And all those nerves down my shoulders and everything were killing me. My shoulders are still like I've got bursitis in them. Anyway, I went to the doctor, and he told me, well, he said, if you get stung there, that's bad. He said, you couldn't be worse because it affects your whole body and the whole nervous system. So I got a little bit of experience with these here things, these stinging beings, this last week. 9 and verse 6. And in the days those, they shall seek the mankind. Look at that word anthropoi there. Anthropology comes right out of that Greek word. Okay? The death. The thanatos. Thanaton is what it's talking about. The death. But that word and there can be translated but. So you can write but in there. Okay? You can write that in the parenthesis there or something. Put down there but because it can be an adversative conjunction there. But know not, they shall find it. All right? The death. And they shall hold upon the mind to die. Hold upon the mind. That's all they're thinking about is death. And it flees the death from them. That's pretty bad, isn't it? There are people that are terminally ill that are in a lot of pain that want to die, aren't they? Don't they? People that are terminally ill many times want to die. They want to be put to sleep. But I want you to understand something. This was hard stuff right here. Okay, this is bad. These creatures, they're like the flying fortresses. And it's going to explain them. Remember what the flying fortress was like during World War II? B-52, is that what it was? B-17? B-29, these flying fortresses. Okay, they had guns out the bottom, guns out the top, and guns out the tail. And bombs dropping. That's what kind of like what these things are, okay? These are beings that are turned loose on mankind to torment mankind. But it's more than that. Just think about it for a while. How long is hell going to last? Forever. What is in hell? We only have one example of it in the New Testament. And that's in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It gives us an absolute historical account of a man that went to hell and a man that went to heaven, paradise. And he was in multiple torments, Brother Mike.
Can't you be saved during this time right
now? Yes. Well, just hold on now. Don't get me off track. Okay.
Well, why would he not wait?
All right. We have an example of what hell is like. Okay? And there's multiple torments. Okay? And here these people are for 5 months. They can't die. And they're suffering, and they want to die. This is a type of hell. Now, even with this being such a curse, all right, adikia is the term, the harm, when they go out and harm them. The word harm there, adikia, means unjust. That's what it literally means, unjust. But it means to harm, to do violence to. even though God allows these demon creatures to do violence to mankind, humans, He's trying to tell them, this is what it's going to be like forever if you're not saved.
There could be people that already have the mark.
They could be.
Right?
But people are seeing this. And these aren't supposed to hit the ones, you know, the ones that God has marked for Himself. Who are they, basically?
144,000.
They can't touch them. Okay? But they're out there. They are doing harm to all these people, but God is trying to reach them still. Even with all this punishment, He's trying to say, hell's going to be a whole lot worse than this. Because you can't get away from the punishment. You're not going to get away. There is no escape. There is no death. The Job witnesses, they basically, hell to them is the grave. What's the word for grave in Hebrew?
Grave.
What? No. What? Okay, let's. Quiver. The grave in Hebrew is quiver. Now, hell in Hebrew is Sheol, the place of departed spirits. Sheol and quiver are not the same. You can dig a quiver, but you can't dig a Sheol. All right? Simple as that. Sheol is a place of departed spirits. Quiver is a depository for a dead body. There are two different places. Your Seventh-day Adventist, your Jehovah's Witnesses, your Worldwide Church of God, all these people do great violence to the Scriptures because they disallow hell and eternal punishment. They don't want to believe in it. And they also have a very perverted idea of who Jesus Christ is, don't they? Perverted.
Can they get that mixed up, Jim, by that one word?
Now we studied last week, we studied how demons influence theology. Demons influence theology, don't they? In what way do they do? Demons are the authors of false doctrine. And that's one of the authors. No hell? And without the deity of Jesus Christ, by the way, you have totally done away with salvation. Period. You've done away with it. If there's a heaven, there's got to be a hell. There won't even be a heaven without hell. Do you know that? And you're not going to get to heaven unless Jesus Christ, God the Son, saves you by His blood, gets you there. All right? Now, since I got this up on the board, and since we're on that subject right now, Deuteronomy 10:17. I don't have my. I've got Genesis and Exodus in Hebrew with me. I don't have the other. Have you got the Hebrew Bible with you, brother? No. Okay. Deuteronomy. Who does anyone have the Sacred Name Bible? No. All right. We're out of luck. We're going to have to stand with New American Standard. Okay, Brother Mike. Deuteronomy 10:17, the New American Standard.
For the Lord your God is the God of God, and the Lord of lords, that's Adonai, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe.
Okay. Now let's just go some places in the Bible, since we're talking about how do you get to heaven, okay? And hell is a real place. It is forever. God is trying to teach these people that are suffering during the tribulation period that there is an eternal hell. You can't die now. You can't die. People want to die, but they can't die. Do you think people in hell would like to burn up? Go poof and go away? It's all over with. You hear people that are suffering in this life with cancer and all kinds of disease, and they don't have Jesus Christ in their life, in their soul. And they die, and they go right straight from that suffering into that suffering. No relief. They go right into hell with their cancer, all of their heart problems, everything they've got, they take it right with them. All of eternal sufferings. That's bad, people. God is trying to teach these people a lesson here. Now, there is a hell, and there is a heaven, and there's only one way to get there. All right. Now, Deuteronomy 10:17, We read that. Revelation 2:17 and 19 and verse 12 and 17:14, 19:16, and Psalm 35:23. Are you over there anywhere? Psalm 35:23, anyone? Psalm 35:23. I know Kathy can get there in lightning seconds. And Psalm 136 and verse 3. Are you there? Okay. Okay, good. Which one are you?
35:23.
Good.
Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord.
All right, my God and my Lord. It's talking about Adonai, Adonaim. All right? It's talking about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's who it is. This one here, Jehovah Adonai Ha'athanim. Now, Psalm 136 and verse 3. Are you there also?
Mm-hmm. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting.
The Lord of Lords. All right, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is talking about Jehovah Adonai Ha'athanim. Okay? Now, John 20 and verse 28. John 20 and verse 28 in the New Testament. And let's figure this one out. Okay? The New Testament is written in Greek, of course. All right? Are you there, Kathy?
20, 28.
Yes.
Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed?
Okay, now hold on right there.
Wrong verse.
No. Okay. John 20 and verse 28. Let's go back, though, before you do read it, and let's figure something out. To interpret Scripture, you have to have basically three basic rules of interpretation. If you remember this, you probably won't go wrong. Okay? What is the three rules of basic interpretation?
Who's speaking?
To who is he speaking? And what's the subject? Now, you can go who, what, where, when, and why. You can do all five of those and just... out. But if you just remember who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject, you're going to be all right. All right? Now, what happened here is we got Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas will not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? He said, I won't believe that he rose from the dead until I see what? The hole in his side where the sword was stuck in his side, and the holes in his hand where the nails were driven in his hands and in his feet. And I'll thrust my hand in his side, and then I'll really, okay? All right, Kathy, now do you have the right one?
Chapter 20, verse 28.
Okay.
Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God.
All right. I think he was quoting Deuteronomy 10:17. They knew the Old Testament, didn't they? Jehovah, Adonai, Ha'athanim. We have it in the New Testament, in John 19 and verse 16. I'm not John, Revelation 19 and verse 16. That's just a little bit hop further than where we are now. About 10 chapters, okay? Go to Revelation 19 and verse 16. That Jehovah means what? He who shall become. Where is the fulfillment of it in the New Testament? John 1, 14. Okay, Ron 1:14. All right. And the Word, or the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among mankind, pitched his tent. All right. And Revelation 19:16, who's there? Terry, are you there? Revelation 19:16. Revelation 19, are you there? Luffy, go ahead.
And on his robe and on his thigh, he said...
Who's it talking to here? Who is this person?
Jesus.
All right.
And on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
All right, what is that? King of Kings, Adonai, Ha'athanim. That's who it is. And who was he? He is Jehovah. So we have the Jehovah title right here fulfilled. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jehovah. Brother Terry.
It says on the garment and on the thigh.
On the garment and on the thigh. All right. Upon the thigh. Mm-hmm. All right. Upon the garment and upon the thigh. Yes.
But do you think that was commentary?
like to think that that name means that. That commentary, but that someone.
No, that's what it literally means.
So they it is the ministry.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it means. It, for extreme emphasis, now it could say Jehovah Adonai, which is a Jehovah title also. Jehovah Adonai means Jehovah, Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's what it means, Jehovah Adonai. Okay? But, when you specify it, Jehovah Adonai, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Lord of all Lords. That's what that word means. Ha is a what in Hebrew? Definite article. All right. Ha Adonai Ema. Ema on the end of Hebrew is what? Plural. So we see it. All right. Adonai means Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All right. And when they refer to the name of God, and the name of God is what? What is the name of God? What is the name of God? Well, Ego Ami, that's in the Septuagint, Exodus 3:14, okay? And it comes from, this here is Jehovah, the name Jehovah. Now, we say the name Jehovah, and I want to emphasize this again, that is baloney. You cannot say that name. We say that name because we refer to the name of God. Jehovah Witnesses say, oh, that was the name of God. And Charles Russell and Judge Rutherford, I can't remember which one of them, said, this is the new penny, the new coin. This is our name now. From now on, we'll be called Jehovah Witnesses. Okay? And I think it was 1914 or something when he told them that they were going to be called Jehovah Witnesses. But the name Jehovah. Brother Brett came in here one day, and I think I spent a half an hour in this classroom trying to explain to him that the name Jehovah is a misnomer.
I still don't get it 100%.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. You know now.
There's a relationship, but you can't say it. How can it exist? But then
it does exist. When the Hebrews read this, they will read this like this. All right. All right. When they come to that term. This is, if you want to try to say this, Brother Hubbard used to say it was something like, it was either yee or yo, just like that. Just a yo, just a sound, just breathe out. But we don't know how to say it. We have no idea how to say the name of God. The Jews, once they received the commandments of God, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in what? Emptiness. So they would never speak his name ever again. Period. So we don't know how to say that. But when the Jews come to the name Jehovah, as we say it, which is a misnomer, they use the term what? Adonai. Adonai. I mean, even the term Yahweh is basically, we don't know how to say that name. We don't know how to say it. That's just simple as that. This here is, the Jews would say Adonai Elohim. All right? Adonai Elohim. But this is the term we know for the Savior. He who shall become. Okay? He who shall become.
That was in 1500?
Yeah. Well, when was the King James Version translated?
Like 1565 or
1611. I have a King James Bible, a page out of it, translated in 1611. I have one. Translated that year.
Bible at home. The 1611 version.
1611 version. I have a 2 or 3 1611 versions, but I have one that's original. I have a page out of one of the original the first printings of the King James Bible. I should have brought that. I will one of these days. It's in a glass thing.
It was translated from German?
It's translated from the Latin Vulgate into English. And they used the Textus Stephanus, which was translated from Latin into German. All right. It didn't really come from Greek at all. It came from Latin. Because the Textus Stephanus came from the Latin Vulgate. It did not come from Greek manuscripts. Simple as that. Okay?
And made according to King James' rules, right?
Yeah, they had to translate it according to the doctrines of the Church of England. It was the Church of England's translation. And, of course, Baptists said it was incorrect, and they killed a bunch of Baptists. So many Baptists they killed in England, and they burned them at the stake for blaspheming the king and his translation, that they ran out of firewood that winter. And they went cold because of the Baptists, because they had to burn so many of them at the stake. All right, let's go on.
Did God not want you to know how to pronounce his name?
Even Pharaoh knew how to say that name if you go back in the book of Exodus. But it has never been spoken since. We don't know how to say the name. We just don't know how. People say Yahweh, Yahweh, or Yahweh, Yahweh. Any of these, we don't know how to say it. We simply, if anybody would say Yahweh, they were guessing. Okay? We use the term Jehovah, but that's a misnomer.
So they see the word, the name.
When you see this, that's the name of God. And it's referred to as the name or the word. Okay? Word. And that's what John was writing about. And if they say it, it's Adonai. But how do they, in the Greek Septuagint, how do you say Adonai or Jehovah? Kyrios. All right. And Exodus 3.14. Let's go there real quick. Exodus 3.14. Kyrios. That means Lord. What did they call Jesus all the time? How did they refer to him? Kyrios. All right. Kyrios. All right. And in modern Greek today, did you know when they call you Mr., they call you Kyria?
Like L.D. Foreman, in his book, did he spell it phonetically?
Who?
L.D. Foreman, does he spell it phonetically in the book?
I don't remember what he said about
it. I think it was K-U-R-O-S, so it must have been spelled...
Oh, Kyrios?
Yeah,
it's K-Y-R-O-R-I-O-U-S. Or Kyrios, O-I-O-S. Who's got Exodus 3.14 by the mic?
And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you.
All right. I am has sent me to you. All right. I am. That's the one you earned. What is your name? Loopy. Loopy. That's what you used a while ago.
Right.
All right. And in Hebrew.
Is that the covenant name? Is that what they refer to as the covenant name?
Yes. Jehovah, Israel. Everybody's got an Elohim, but only those that are saved or Israel has a Jehovah. All right. What it says here is Ahya, Asher, Ahya. All right? And that translated into Greek is Ego, Eni. All right? But it's still the same one. We're talking about Jehovah. We're talking about who Jesus said he was. Jesus said he was Jehovah when he quoted Exodus 3.14 in the New Testament. And they wanted to stone him for what?
For blasphemy.
Because he had, if he wasn't truly wasn't Jehovah, he would have been blaspheming. Okay. Let's go on a little bit further. We're talking about these hell's angels now. And the likeness, the homeomata, the likeness of the akridon, these locusts, okay? These, and what do they literally mean, these akridons? What does that literally mean? We looked at it last week. What does that literally mean? Walk on tiptoes. Walk on tiptoes. How do horses walk? How do... That's right. How do horses walk? On their tiptoes. Don't they?
On their tiptoes.
Yes. That big hoof is a toe. That's a toe. Okay? So they're walking on their tiptoes, aren't they, also?
How big are they?
How big are these things? I don't know. Let's look at them. Let's see the full description of these critters. All right? I had one little bitty critter got me last week right there. And I'll tell you what, I sure wouldn't want anything bigger than that out hold of me. Because he had some venom in him. I can hardly move my right arm still. I've got bursitis in that shoulder over it. All of my fingers hurt. All my joints hurt. Did you know if wasps and hornets sting you and sting you and sting you, it destroys your joints? It affects you. It goes in and just totally destroys your joints. And the likenesses of the acridones were like hippos. When the Greeks saw hippopotamuses, you know what they said? There goes a water horse.
Let's say locusts are like people.
Now hold on now. You're getting ahead now, brother. Just hold on. Just get that spade bit and pull back on it a little bit. Now just hold up here. They were like horses. Hippos. That's the term for horses. Okay? Now horses walk on tiptoes. These creatures walked on tiptoes. And having been prepared unto Polemon for war, battle. Now, this weekend, out there by my house, they had horses out there that were prepared for cutting cattle. Those horses, some of them are worth $1 million or more. And they have to get out there, they have to feed them specially, and you have to work them real hard. Every day you've got to work those horses. You've got to run them, and then you've got to work them and warm them up and everything before they get out there and start working these cattle because they have to be extreme athletes. Now, Henry VIII, remember that guy? Henry VIII, I am. Remember that old song? Nobody here remembers that song, probably except John, maybe, and Brother X. Few of you, that's an old song. That goes back in the 60s, I think, or 70s. Henry VIII had every horse in England killed that was less than 15 hands. He only wanted strong horses left. He didn't want, when he wanted horses, he wanted horses big enough to carry knights with all their armor on. And of course, a war horse has to be in condition. Alexander the Great had a war horse. What was his name, Dakota? Remember that horse's name? What was his name? He named the city after him, didn't he? Come on, tell me the name of that horse. Okay. He named the city after that horse, even. He loved his horse. He was a great horse. He loved that horse. A great horse. Different people in history have had special horses.
What?
I don't remember the name of it. See, I ask her. I don't remember anything. I can't remember this girl's name here. Sometimes I don't know yours. And I'm not sure about mine half the time. I had two or three strokes. My brains are scrambled. I have to depend on other people to remember these names. Dakota, what is it? Marilyn? Say it, Dakota. Come on. Spit it out.
Bucephalus.
All right. That was a horse's name. Okay. Well, anyway, these horses have to be conditioned for war. Out there 2 weeks ago, they had a horse show out there, and they had a horse 20-something years old, and they were cutting cattle with him. He fell over dead. He wasn't warmed up good enough, and he was old, and he couldn't take the strain. Now, war horses have to be conditioned for battle. Henry VIII had every horse under 15 hands killed because they weren't heavy enough to carry the armored men that he wanted. He wanted battle horses. Conditioned for war, and the heads of them look like crowns. Armored horses. They're armored horses now, okay? Having been prepared for war. And they had heads of them as crowns, like chrysole. That's gold. All right? Chrysole. We get the word kind of like gold, real white gold, just like crystal, isn't it? So it's like you can see into it almost.
These are living creatures.
Yes, these are living creatures of some sort. These are living creatures. They are living creatures. Okay? This is like a science fiction movie right here. If you want to think about some of the science fiction movies they got out right now, this is where they got some of the original ideas right here. like gold. And the prosopon, the faces, the word is pene, or panim in Hebrew. The faces of them. The faces of them as faces of men. Let's just talk about these guys. This is what you asked me a while ago, Brother Mike. You kind of jumped ahead. They had faces that look like men. Okay, now I want you to look at Brother Mike. Look back there at Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, look at Mike.
As close as you'll ever see.
All right, he's a man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a man. Anthropos, okay. Now look over there at Brother John. Now what looks like Brother John and Mike? What similarities do they have? And then look over there at Brett. And over here, huh? Brother Rex, over here. What? What's that? They got two eyes. Where are their eyes pointing? Where are the eyes pointing?
Forward,
straight ahead. You know why? Predators. A predator, what's a lion look like? Where's his eyeballs? How about a chicken? How about a chicken? That chicken has eyes on one side of his head and eyes on the other side of his head. You know why? Because he's the bottom of the food chain. That's right. The top predators have eyes on one side because they don't have to worry about what's behind them. How's a wolf look? Where's his eyes? Got eyes on both sides of his head or where? Straight ahead.
How about a yeti?
Huh? The one I saw had eyes straight ahead. All right. These things have eyes straight ahead. An owl. All right, eyes straight ahead. These are top predators, aren't they? All right, top predators. All right. 9 and verse 7. Let's look at it. Do you like me to read in this Greek like this? Is this helping you more than just reading it in English?
Yeah, in Greek.
Do you like it in Greek? Okay. And the homiata, all right, this the likeness or the shapes of them, the appearance of them, of the locusts, the acridons, like horses, having been prepared for the war, and heads of them like crowns, like gold, and the faces of them like the faces of a what? A predator. All right, go on, 9 and 8 now. And they kept on having hairs. Trichos. Trichos. Hairs. Trichos hos trichos. Hairs as hairs. Huh? Trichos hos trichos. All right? Hairs as hairs is what it says.
How about hairs with Cyrus or Cephas?
Okay, have you ever heard of the word trichinosis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Trichinosis. What is trichinosis, you know?
It is
a worm creature that gets in the flesh of pork and bears and mankind. Anybody that is a carnivore and eats food that is not cooked. They will have these little hair-like worms in their flesh that will cause great pain. That's why they get the word trichinosis. It comes from the Greek word trichase, all right, which means hair. And it says they kept on having hairs as hairs of gynecon. Gynecologist is a what? The woman doctor. That's where it comes from. Gynecon. Right there. Gynecon. Like women. They had long hair like a woman. Long, straight hair. And the teeth. Have you ever heard of a orthodontist? Okay, that's the word. Odontes. Ortho, straight teeth, dentis. All right, there's where it comes from, right out of Greek. And the teeth of them as sharp eyes. That's what it says, literally. Leontone. Leo the lion. Where is the eyes of the lion?
The predator.
The predator. Leon, sharp eyes. That's what it means. As the teeth like lions, they kept on being. All right? You know what? That even lions' tongues are menacing. Did you know that? Even lions' tongues are menacing. How many of you got a cat or got a cat around here?
I've seen a couple of meat.
You've seen a couple of cats?
Huh? They can rip meat with their tongue.
Well, they've got sharp teeth, very sharp teeth. But their tongue have thorn-like hairs on the back of them, and they can lick, and they tear meat off of bones. They can just lick a bone clean. Even their tongues are vicious. A lion's tongue, now on the back of a lion's tongue, you saw a house cat, there's those hairs on the back, that's how they comb their hair and they get hairballs, you know. Yes, that's it. They're like, you look at them real close, and those are like little thorns.
It's like a rat.
Like a wrath. You look at a lion's tongue. Boy, I mean, tell you, that'll take your hide off. A lion's mouth is menacing, teeth and tongue and all. That's a killing machine, okay? Number 9. These are these creatures. And they kept on having thoracos. Thoracos. Thoracic means what?
Thoracic
forward.
Huh?
Chest. The chest. The thoracic spine. That's the spine that's right up by your chest, okay? Thoracic. That's where this comes from. Thoracos. Okay? Are you learning medical terms while you're going along in Greek? It's just full of them. As thoracos, sidorus, of iron. They have chests like iron. They are armor-plated. And the hey phoné, and the sound of the wings, the ter, it is pterugon, the pterugon, of the wings of them, as hos phoné of harmaton. Harmaton. Like chariots, horses many. Traconta, trekking, the word trekking along, running unto war. How many of you ever heard a lot of horses running? A lot of horses, I mean the ground's going to be, big horses especially, the ground's going to be shaking. Okay? And then chariots wheels. What were chariot wheels made out of a lot of times? Well, they had wood in them, but they were also iron chariots. And iron chariots made a lot of rattling sounds. All right? Now, these kind of things are going to be flying. And it's going to sound like hooves a beating the ground. How many of you ever heard some of these military helicopters? Huh? Shaking the ground. You can hear them for 15, 20 miles. You can hear the ground, feel the ground shaking. Yeah. Thump, 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 like that. Breaking the sound. The reason for that is that those helicopter things are breaking the sound barrier. And every time you hear one, it's breaking the sound barrier and it's making a boom. Did you know that? That's what's causing all that. All right. Let's go on. Number 10 now. We're clipping right along here. And they have tails. Uros. Like. Or similar to scorpiois. What word do you think came out of English like that? What do you think did that? Huh? Scorpions. Have you ever been bit by a scorpion? No? John, you ever been bit by a scorpion? You ever been bit by a hornet? Huh?
Yellow jackets.
What did it feel like? No. Burns like fire. You think somebody's holding a branding iron to you.
I got stung by a hornet. It seemed like it shocked me more than any other bee I've ever got stung by.
They really can put the slam to you, can't they?
It's like a...
Well, now, just think about a scorpion. A scorpion's got about 100 times more venom in it than a wasp or a hornet or a bee.
Biting too, right?
Huh?
He can bite you
right? Well, yeah. They can bite and sting at the same time. Now, a hornet and a scorpion, a bee, when a bee stings you, what happens?
He dies.
What happens?
Or he loses a stinger.
He's got stinger that's got barbs on it. The stinger sticks in you, and on that is a sac of venom. And the sac just comes loose from their abdomen. Of course, they're going to die. but they take off and they leave their stinger in you. And if you look at it with a magnifying glass, you'll see that thing just pumping poison in you, just like that. That's what these things are. Scorpions, scorpions. One time I caught a big old scorpion, put him in a jar, and he hit the edge of that jar and squirted poison from here to that wall almost. That gives you the willies, like a hypodermic needle. That's a lot of poison, people. That's venom. And that stuff's toxic. It'll kill you many times. In the tails of them, they had kintra, fangs, like a hypodermic needle. And in the tails of them, the authority of them to harm, that word adikason, to harm the mankind months five. They're going to harm mankind for 5 months. Now this 5 months is a type of eternity in hell. Now this is about the time of the year that for 5 months locusts can plague areas. Okay? So for 5 months these people are going to feel like they're in hell. What should that do? What should that prepare you for? If you were a lost man and you got stung by one of these acridos, and you were suffering like this, and this kind of stuff, would that kind of lead you to salvation just a little bit? It ought to. And if it did, then God would be merciful even though you got stung by one of them, huh? And their mouths are vicious, and their tails are vicious, and everything in between.
If you didn't already have the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And if you did, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late if you got the mark of the beast. But there are some that don't. Now, let's go look at 9 and verse 11 now. We're going to see the king of hell. The king of hell. And they have over them the Malach. What's that mean in Hebrew? King. What does Melchizedek mean? That comes from that word. King of righteousness. The Malach, the Basileia, the king, or the angel of the abysso, of the abyss. What does abyss mean? Literally, what does abyss mean?
No bottom.
No bottom. Here we go. Okay. That's it. This beast, that's bottom. And the alpha in front of it means no bottom. So if it's no bottom, what is it? Bottomless pit. Simple as that. The king of the angel, the king, by the word Malach in Hebrew, this is what you call a Hebraism in Greek. The king, the angel. The Malach is either an angel or a king in Hebrew. All right? A powerful one, okay? Of the abyss, and name to him. Onoma, we got our word nomos from that, which means name, according to law. Your name is your name according to law, okay? Your name is legally yours. Nobody else's, okay? That's your name. Your signature is yours. Name to him in Hebrew, he breiste, in Hebrew, abaddon. What does abaddon mean? Comes from abad. What does it mean? It's destroyer. Destroyer. That's what it means. And then it says, and in the Hellenike, the word Greek is the word Helles or Hellenike. Hellenike. That's the word for Greek. Now, where do you think that word come from? Helen of Troy. Helles. Helen of Troy. Helles. The Hellenites. Hellenistic Jews. The Greek Jews, okay? All right. The Hellenike, the Greek name, he has Apollyon. Apollyon. The Temple of Apollo. You ever heard of that? Now, you studied Greek mythology just a little bit, okay? Now, let's look at the Apollos. Apollos was the god of the end of the world, and he was the god that could tell futures. Did you know that? They would come, people would come to the temple of Apollos, and they would stand in line for hours, days, weeks sometimes, to meet a priest that would come out and greet them. And then they would have to pay a lot of money to seek the future, to seek their fortunes. So many people go down, the tarot card readers, the psalmists, and every one of these people are right out of work. What's it say here? Right out of the kingdom of hell itself. All right? They would go there and they'd stand in line and they would wait at the front door of the temple. The cosmos graphes. Okay? And they would give their request to the priest. Okay? They would give their request to the priest. And they'd say, I want to start a business over here. I want to do this or do that. Am I going to be successful? Should I do this? And then here the guy goes off. And they got an old hag in there. You know what an old hag is? Marilyn, you know what an old hag is? You know what an old hag is? They had an old hag in there. Huh? A what? I didn't say an old nag now. I said old hag. Okay? Let's get rid of some of this. Got to draw you a picture here. I ought to get Dakota or Marilyn up here to do this because they can draw. I can't. I can write Greek and Hebrew a little bit, but I'm not very good at drawing. Here's a hole in the ground, okay? Let's call that the abysson, okay? Now, in this hole in the ground was vapors coming up, right out of hell, they said. And in the temple of Apollos, they had a tripod over this, and they had a chair hanging down on there, and they had an old hag, a witch, sitting on that chair. Here she is sitting there on that chair. I think my little old machine is doing stuff on here.
Hey, we're supposedly the entrance to hell. Have you heard that?
Hold on. Hold on now. You're going to get me off track. I'm short-sighted. I'm an old man. Let me finish the story. All right, we got this old hag sitting over here over the door to the bottomless pit, the door to hell, the underworld, okay? And they go in there, and this old woman sits there, and she breathes these vapors. And the priest goes in there, and he asks her a question. And then she answers them in an unknown language that anybody else knows. An unknown tongue, so-called. All right? And then the priest goes out there, and he writes down in poetry. The priest writes down in poetry the story. And he goes there, and here's where the money rolls. I've got your answer. It's going to cost you $300,000 more. Here's that. I know the answer now. And then he reads it to them in poetry. He reads it in poetry. All right? He reads this poetry to them, and he gives them their answer. Now, this is the god of the underworld. He reads to the client the oracle. All right? In Acts, the 16th chapter, we have one of those traveling hags. The traveling hags. The traveling hags. Acts 16, 16. Go there and look. Read. You're already there, aren't you, Kathy? Acts 16, 16.
It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having the spirit of...
A pithona. That's a great snake. The devil. Apollyon.
She met us, and he was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling.
There we go. There we have the traveling hag. All right? And that's what she was doing. And she would speak to them in an unknown language, and the priest there would interpret to these people their fortunes. All right. Okay. Huh?
That's a pretty good hustle.
All right. Job 26 and verse 6, 28. 22, 31, 12, Psalm 88, verse 11, Luke 8, 31, Revelation 9 and 1, 2 John 5 and 2, Revelation 16, 16, and Acts 16, 16. These are all cross references to this. Luke 8, 31, Revelation 9 and 1, 8, 13, and 11, 14. All of these are cross references to this. Now you know what Apollyon is. All right? He's Apollos, the temple of Apollos. I have been to one of those temples. Did you go to Temple of Apollos over there, Terry, when you were in the Middle East? All right. They've got these big temples there. All right. And I'm going to turn you loose here in a couple of minutes. We're going to go to 13 here. And the sixth angel, the hektos. Hectagon is a what? A six-sided thing. All right. And the hektos angel, he sounded his trumpet. And I heard a voice, a sound, the one out of the keratone. Have you ever heard of carotene? Where does carotene come from? Masonry. What?
Carotene.
Carotene. Got a lot of vitamin. Huh? Carotene. Okay, carrots. You know what the word carrot means? It means horn. Let's think about a carrot for a minute. What's it look like? Horn. That's right. Horn. Horn. H-O-R-N. A horn. And I heard a voice out of one of the horns. All right. The four horns. All right. Of the sacrificial altar. Of the golden sacrificial altar. Of the presence of the God. In the presence of God. Exodus 30, 2 through 10. If that's a cross-reference back in the Old Testament. Revelation 8 and 3 also. We're going to get this next verse and then I'm going to turn you loose. By the way, we got a real good speaker over there. Supposed to be speaking tonight. What's his name? What is it?
Charles Lowry.
Charles Lowry. He's really good. He's good this morning. Excellent. All right. Excellent speaker if you want to go listen to him. Legonta, saying to the sixth angel, Hecto, to the one having the trumpet, you loose. Our word loose comes right from the Greek word. See that word? Lison. All right. The four angels, the ones having been bound over the river, the great Euphrates. That's an ancient river, isn't it? Euphrates. But the Euphrates also is a barrier, isn't it? It's a barrier that holds back these armies, and God is going to remove the barrier to where the armies can all get together. All right? Where all these armies can get together. By the way, this is what we call the fertile what? The Fertile Crescent, it's also called what? Tigris and Euphrates, what is this area in here? It's called Mesopotamia, that's the land between the rivers. Okay. And this is the birthplace of humanity, and it will be the burial place of humanity. The birthplace and the burial place of all humanity. All right? Daniel 11, 41 through 44, Ezekiel 1 through 23. Cross references to this.
Daniel
11:41-44, and Ezekiel 38:1-23. We have the birthplace of humanity, and it will also be the burial place of humanity. We covered quite a few verses today. All right, quite a few verses. Do you have any questions? See, I don't know. Ook, may Udamia, nothing? Nada? Nothing? Nothing?
Was that the Garden of Eden?
Probably the Garden of Eden was over there someplace. I've been to several places they said was the Garden of Eden. One of them was over there by Damascus.
Damascus, sir. Question, and then he said, wait.
Yeah.
I think I remember where it was at. Yeah,
Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, the rabbi rabbinical tradition says that the Sea of Galilee was a doorway to hell. But this is a different we've got Greek mythology here. This is not Hebrew, all right? Hebrew mythology said that the Sea of Galilee was the doorway to the infernal regions, all right? And of course the Temple of Apollos, they had a doorway into hell, and Apollos was the one that could predict. He was the god of the underworld, okay? The king of hell, so to speak. All right. Well, did you learn something about these Octritos?
Sure.
All right, these tiptoeing creatures like Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips. These are tiptoeing through the battlefields here. All right. Well, I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal this week.
Oh, maybe
yes.
That made me think of, is it in 2 Peter something? And where Jesus, when he got on the cross and
Into Sheol. Sheol, yeah. That Sheol. No, well, now, Greek. In Greek, it tells us where hell is. Here's the earth. It says kato, kata, tipo. All right. Kata means down under the earth. It doesn't mean below the surface. It means out here, someplace, down under the earth. Where is heaven, as far as we know, according to Ezekiel? Where is heaven? North. North and up into the third heaven. That's where heaven is, up here. Evidently, hell is down under the earth, this direction, south. All right. When somebody tells you you're going south, it means you're going to hell. All right, Brother Rex.
When he says Jesus was in the center of the earth for 3 days, wasn't
there? It said in the heart of the earth. Where was his body? In the earth. They always call that the heart of the earth. That was a figure of speech for being in the grave. He was in the grave. His body was in the grave. His body was really in the grave. Mm-hmm. His body was in the heart of the earth of the grave, okay? That's why they looked at it. The earth is the heart of the earth when you're in the grave.
There's a different heaven and hell here than the one where there's an abyss.
All right. Before Jesus rose, down under the earth, down out here, was a place called paradise on one side, and Sheol, it's all called Sheol, okay? All of it's called Sheol, all right? Sheol.
Hebrew, Greek, I mean English.
English, all right. Didn't read that. All right, Sheol, this is the place of departed spirits. The word in Greek is Hades, all right? Like that, Hades. Okay, that means a place not seen. In Hebrew, it's a place asked about. Okay? That's the place of departed spirits. Okay? Down here, in the paradise side, was called Abraham's bosom. After Jesus rose from the dead, he took all of those here with him up to the third heaven. That's what most theologians believe. But hell stayed down there, and it said hell has enlarged itself. Okay, since that time. Of course, there's a lot more people in hell now than there were 2,000 years ago, I can assure you. Brother X.
Oh, I was just going to read it. It says that hell and death will be thrown into the lake of fire.
There won't be any more hell. But eternal hell is the lake of fire and is eternal hell. Okay? Hell, Hades, Sheol, which is the second death, all of these will be thrown into the lake of fire as the final abode and what is called hell fire. Okay? So hell will be done away with. Hades will be done away with. But Hades will be in the lake of fire. Those people aren't going to go out of existence. They're going to be like asbestos. Asbestos. Yeah. Probably out there someplace. In one of those, what they call black holes, evidently. We've understood nothing now about what a black hole is. It's a place where everything is compact, and there is no time. Did you know that? There is no, they say when something is sucked into a black hole, time ceases to exist. It stays there in that. Have you ever seen the movie, the Walt Disney movie, The Black Hole? It's kind of like that. A little bit. Kind of like, that was a long time ago. Brother Mike.
The Book of Enoch sounds a little bit like the angels and stuff are kind of smashed down in a place right now. The ones that are being held there to be let.
The abyssal. The abyssal. In the bottomless pit.
Yeah,
it's in darkness. It's in dark. It says, Sophon, Scotia Sophon. Thick darkness. Thick darkness. Scotia Sophon. Thick darkness.
Outer darkness is
yeah.
Pretty
yeah. This is thick darkness where they are in this bottomless pit. In hell will be great thick darkness also.
So the departed souls right now that are not believers, they're being held there. But they are already having a certain degree.
They're in Hades. They're in Hades and they're in torments.
I was going to say they're having a certain degree of torment already.
Yes. But then they will be judged according to how bad they were, and they will be put. There are degrees in heaven, in heaven and in hell. There's going to be places in hell that aren't quite as bad as other places. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to be any place around it. You don't even want to be in the vicinity of the place. Okay? All right. I'm trying to give you time.
Oh, I know what else.
Okay.
Just one thing makes me think of another.
Okay.
So then you had said that when Jesus died on the cross and went to hell, and then got the...
He preached to them and told them that he had overcome.
Right. And then he took the ones on Abraham's bosom and gave them to heaven.
Up to the third heaven.
They are not going to get their resurrected bodies till later, correct?
You know what? There's a whole nother. That's a whole nother theology. All right. In heaven, there's not time there like it is here. I've heard some theologians say in heaven people are already resurrected. And there, because there's no time in heaven. God can see us there with Him already, even though we're in space and time, aren't we? This is all conjecture. That's all. Okay, just nothing but conjecture. Okay, he did take them. Nobody could go to heaven before Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Period. Nobody could go to heaven because the price hadn't been paid. The promise was made. God's promises are sure. They got to go to paradise, but they couldn't go to heaven until the price was paid and he was resurrected. Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected for our what? Raised for our justification. We can go right in there into the presence of God. All right, since that time. And it is God who tasted death for us. Not an angel. Not somebody else. God Himself did it. All right. God Himself came and lived that life so He could be related to us. The Redeemer is related to us. That's something that's very important. All the cults got this all messed up. Our God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Is His Son? What is His Son? Your children are what? They're of you, aren't they? All right. They're part of you. All right. They're an extension of you. When you die, they're the only things that will be left in this world. Brother Rex.
Somewhere in some of Paul's writings, he said, no man has went to heaven except the...
I think it's 1 Corinthians. No man... He said... no man has ascended to heaven. John's writing, he said that. Also, Paul says, I knew a man so many years ago that saw things. He was taken up to the third heaven. Paul was stoned to death. Did you know that? Paul actually was stoned. He was beaten many times, and one time he was stoned to death, and he was thrown out into the garbage dump. But God raised him. And he died. His body actually died. If he was stoned, you know what happened? When did they quit stoning you, Brother Mike? When did the Jew quit stoning you?
I imagine after they were sure you're dead.
That's right. After you were dead, they quit stoning you.
Brother, he says, except Christ, and the only one went to heaven. Well, what happened to Elijah and Enoch?
Elijah and Enoch went to heaven, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well,
That was before Christ, all right. And what were they a type of? They're not going to be the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. I don't believe that. Because they're a type of the rapture. God's not going to send them back to die again. Remember, Hebrews says, a fallen man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. But we have two exceptions to the rule here. What are these exceptions to the rule for? To prove to you, you have by two or three witnesses let everything be established. Do you think God can rapture you and take you to heaven? Mm-hmm. We have two examples in the Bible, Enoch and Elijah. There we have the two examples. We have two witnesses. Okay.
Then why would Paul say that they didn't go to heaven? But no man had gone to heaven before Christ.
No, that's what John said.
John.
Yeah, no man has seen God. No one has been. Jesus said, "No one man has come down from heaven except this. No one has come down from heaven to man except the Son of Man." Where did Jesus come from when he came to this earth?
Mm-hmm.
Out of heaven. All right.
He said, no man has ascended and descended.
Yeah, no man has ascended and descended. No man. Their angels had. All right. Enoch and Elijah went to heaven. Okay. But they didn't come back and forth. All right.
But they actually go in the presence of God? Did they, have they not seen the
benefit? They're a type of what? What were they a type of? The rapture. All right. If anybody got to, they could have gone to paradise.
That's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. But paradise is the place of departed spirits.
Right, but it was.
But they weren't. Paradise. Now, if you're going to be raptured, are you going to go to paradise or are you going to go to heaven? All right, just think about it. Now, this is all conjecture, too, but just think about it. That's a lot of stuff to think about.
But they couldn't enter heaven until they were covered by Jesus' righteousness, right? In order to be able to come to the holy.
But when they get to heaven, time ceases. Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the what? The foundation of the world. All right? Okay. They went out time, a space. They went outside of space and time. All right. A lot of things in the Bible we just don't know about. The more you study the Bible, the least intelligent you get. Simple. If that's true,
I'm talking about the resurrection because of with Daniel 12, it made it seem like the Old Testament saints weren't going to get resurrected until after the Jesus
return. Yeah. Well, some people think that when the saints arose, when Jesus arose from the dead, he took all of the Old Testament saints with him. Mm-hmm. Some of them say some of them say all. Some of them rose from the grave.
Right.
Some people say they had to die again. I don't think so. I think they went on up.
Uh-huh.
All right, they went up. Lazarus, you know, how many people did he raise during his time? I think that those people actually that he raised during his lifetime, I think possibly they died. They tried to kill Lazarus, didn't they? The Jews did. All right. This is a lot of stuff in here. Don't worry about getting over in time. They're going to have a song service before, so you're going to get to hear the preaching anyway, okay? All right. Now, are you ready? Okay, anything else? Before I turn you loose. All right. Brother Mike, you're on the back row. The Baptist back row. You know what I do with the people on the back row?
Make examples out of them.
I usually make them pray, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get Brad to do it. Brad, you're going to dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Dear Father in Heaven, we're so thankful for this class and for this day that you've given us. And we so that we can apply the information that we learned in this